Mark 6, 30-32. The apostles gathered round Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. That's it. Much briefer than usual. That's all we're reading today. The rather alarming comment in the middle of that, that they didn't even have a chance to eat, should bring us up short, I think, bring us to a halt. But I want to focus, first of all, for a moment or two on the word desert. Desert, this morning. When we think of the word desert, first of all, many of us think of a scenery where there are vast oceans of sand, don't we? That's probably the first picture that comes to our mind. When I was studying and for a while teaching geography, I knew very well that in the geography textbooks, they emphasize that there are many more kinds of desert than the great oceans of sand. There are also rocky deserts. And there are also the cold deserts. So a desert doesn't actually need to be hot. It can also be cold. And you end up with a technical definition of a desert, which is any place where the average annual rainfall is below 250 millimetres, which is 10 inches of rain, if you still think in old money, in inches of rainfall per year on average. Any less than that is technically a desert. But the word desert does not really mean that at all. It doesn't mean hot, and it doesn't mean cold, and it doesn't mean dry. What it means is deserted. It's obvious in the word. It actually means deserted. In other words, there's no one there. And that is what is important in these verses. That's what's important in what Jesus says to his disciples. He wants them to be in a place where it's going to be just them and no one else. It's repeated. It's actually repeated in consecutive verses, and we are meant to catch it. It just gets a little lost in translation sometimes. Here's one of the older translations. It reads like this. He said to them, "Come with me to a desert place apart." That's the old phrase that used to be in a lot of the older translations. Come with me to a desert place apart and rest a while. And they went away in the boat to a desert place apart. And it seems it was urgent, wasn't it? Because we're told they didn't even have a chance to eat. The pressure was now not only on Jesus himself, but on the disciples as well, because they had been, you'll remember, they had been now going out on their share of the mission. And they went out in pairs to different places. So they became the voice and the figure and the face that people recognized and people would know and started to follow. But why? Why did they need to go to this desert place apart? And the answer is there already, of course, for us. The answer is to get rest, to get some rest. And we all know what that's about, don't we? If you have, let's say, spent all afternoon working in the garden, or you just played a tough game of football, or you've had a long day of school and then after school activity and then homework, and it's been completely endless, what you need to do most of all is just stretch out somewhere on the sofa and let all that strain soak from your muscles. That's what you need. That's what our friends are doing in this picture. But also, there's more than that for us here, much more. Rest is a very strong theme in the Bible, isn't it? We know it is. It's probably a much stronger theme than we would pick up from any individual part. It runs all the way through Scripture. To rest from our labours is something we are actually commanded to do. It's right there. It's number 4 of the 10 commandments, isn't it? And we are always supposed to grasp the enormous truth that those commandments are not things that are set up to make our lives miserable. They are there because they're to improve the quality of our lives. They're there for us to live by. And if people and families and communities did live by those 10 laws, then how much better, how much more healthy and wholesome our lives would be. But there is still more in the word rest, in the concept of rest, than just recovering after something strenuous. There's something more important, something deeper in it than that. And it is captured in these verses. Two things that were essential. One was that the disciples were to be away from the hustle and bustle of the towns of Galilee. They needed to be away from the pressure of the other people, the people that lived around them, the people with all of their demands and expectations and all of the background noise. They had to get away from that. And the other half of the same coin, they were to be with Jesus. He said, come with me by yourselves to a desert place and get some rest. And the same principle applies to us, doesn't it? Exactly the same principle. The same beautiful provision is offered to us, real, true rest, if we follow those two instructions. If we are away from the demands of the world, and if we are in the close presence of Jesus, then our Heavenly Father, the great shepherd of the sheep, gives us rest. So there is a need for wilderness, as the old translations often put it. And when I say wilderness, I don't mean let your gardens grow full of weeds. That's very trendy these days, and I don't think there's anything necessarily right in it all the time. I mean by the word wilderness or the word desert, I mean those times and spaces when we withdraw from everything else and we draw near to God. And that is, of course, exactly what we did in our own very modest way in our 24 hours of prayer this weekend. We were not calling it rest, but in essence, it was the same thing. It had the same elements. Withdrawing from the world and seeking to draw near to God. Didn't Jesus say to his disciples, this is there in the Sermon on the Mount in the early chapters of Matthew's Gospel, didn't he say to them, when you pray, go into your room and close the door? So it's the solitude, it's the withdrawing from the world. Did you notice what the disciples did? When they gathered to Jesus, they reported to him all that they had done. It's actually emphasized quite strongly, all that they had done and all that they had taught, or all they'd said. It's interesting that both of those parts of the activity are included. All that is going on is discussed with the Master. Not just what they'd done, but the details of all that they'd said, all the successes and failures, all the things that went well, and all the things that didn't go well, and all the things that they really needed to learn from, and even things that they had done badly wrong and needed to improve. They shared it with him. He is interested and he is involved in every last bit of it. One other thing to note as well. It wouldn't have been only the disciples doing all the talking, would it? I can imagine perhaps that at first it was them talking and they were all talking over each other and they were bursting to tell him what had been going on. But gradually we see the huge value of the desert place, the huge value of the solitude, because before long they would have finished their reports and gradually they would have stopped talking and the pace would slow down, wouldn't it? And then, as we know happened on other occasions, Jesus would perhaps just wait and watch. Maybe he would draw something in the sand. Maybe he would go over to the fire and cook some fish. And then after they'd eaten, perhaps, and when the sun was going down and it was quiet, then maybe he would start to talk to them. And they would listen. One of the things that I'm hoping for from our 24 hours of prayer in these last day or two is that we have had a chance to listen to what the Lord may be saying to us. So that when it comes to charting the course ahead, when it comes to preparing us for the future, a future which of course is hidden from our eyes but in full view of the Lord, then we will have his voice in our ears. his voice and not the background noise, not the ugly drumbeat of the world. The clear voice of our Lord, the voice of the shepherd, which the sheep recognize. And it would come about because we have spent quality time with him in a desert place apart. Let's pray. Loving shepherd of the sheep, we have begun to recognize your voice. In our walk with you, we can sometimes perceive your voice. Sometimes also, it does get drowned out by the noise of the world. Help us to continue to withdraw from that background noise. Help us to find the times, help us to create the spaces in which we draw near to you, away from the world, and hear your voice, and replenish our batteries, and recharge our energy, and clarify our vision, and simply listen to you. This we ask in your name. Amen. I'd like to sing again, and we're going to turn now to this song. I think is well known, a lovely song. Oh, breath of life, come sweeping through us.